So this parak is a continuation of what we spoke about in the previous parak, the topic of Lashon Hara. And in last parak we started speaking about the story of Miriam and Aaron speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're going to pick up with that story of Lashon Hara. And then in the last parak we also spoke about the story of the Misoininim, where Bnei Yisrael complained to Hashem about the man. And that was in Parshas Baalei Eschol as well, right before the story of Miriam and Aaron speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And this parak is going to speak about a similar story afterwards. Okay, so the parak starts like this. Yerida Shminis, the eighth Yerida, is in the story of Miriam and Aaron speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. She yarad HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'Oil Moed. Hashem came down to the Oil Moed. She never says in the pasuk, "Vayered Hashem ba'amud anon." Hashem came down in a pillar of a cloud, "Vayamayid pesach ha'ayel," and he stood by the entrance to the ayel. "Vayikra Aaron and Miriam vayetzu shneihem," and Hashem called Aaron and Miriam, and the two of them came out. So that's the eighth yerida, the eighth descent of Hashem. Way back when in Perek Yudalet, we started off with the fact that it says 10 times a lashon of yerida about Hashem, that Hashem came down. We explained that it means that Hashem very obviously intervened in the affairs of this world. That's what means Hashem came down. It was obvious as interference, right? And over there we listed 10 things, and throughout Pirkei Deblezer since Perek Yudalet we've been discussing those 10 things. So we had the first one was when Hashem came down by in Gan Eden to give Adam Rishon Moser for eating from Tadas, which we discussed in Perek Yudalet. The second one was when Hashem came down by the Dor HaPalaga, which we discussed in Perek Chof Dalet. The third one was Hashem came down to check out Sodom and destroy it, which was we discussed in Perek Chof Hei. The fourth one was when Hashem came down with the Jews to Mitzrayim. Hashem said, "When you go down to Mitzrayim, I'm going to come with you." So that was discussed in Perek Lamed Tes. The fifth one was when Hashem came down by the snare to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. That was in Perek Mem. The sixth one was when Hashem came down by Har Sinai, by the giving of the Torah, which we discussed in Perek Mem Aleph. The seventh one was when Hashem was Meichel Bnei Yisrael for doing the Chet HaEgel, which we discussed in Perek Mem Vav. That was that seven? The eighth one, Luchara, should be in the story that I just mentioned before, the Misoininim, when Bnei Yisrael complained about the man, and then Hashem ended up sending the Slav, and that was the story when Hashem had the Shivim Zakenim in Parshas Be'ha'alei Yisrael. So that Luchara should be the eighth time, because it says over there, V'yaradati V'dibarti Imach, and there are other variations of the Midrashim that bring that as the eighth one. And then the ninth one would be our story over here of Miriam and Aaron speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And the tenth one will be in the future when Hashem comes to be Moshe Mashiach. Right? So really, if you're going in the order, our story over here of Miriam and Aaron speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu should be the ninth one, not the eighth one. And for some reason, the Medrash calls it the eighth one. It would seem to be, the Radal says it would seem to be because of the fact that the fact that Hashem came down by the story of the Misoininim is omitted from Pirkei Deblezer for whatever reason, so it skipped 8th, and then whoever was compiling the Medrash or whatever saw the next Yerida and said, "Oh, that must be the 8th one." Epstein. Come in! So that's why it says the 8th one, even though technically it should be the 9th one. Or maybe for whatever reason the Medrash is going not in chronological order or something like that. And that's why it says the 8th Yerida, not the 9th Yerida over here. And Be'ez Hashem, in the closing remarks of this year, we'll speak a little bit more about this, that there's things that seem to be missing from Pirkei Deblezer. There's different things that seem to not be there that you would otherwise expect to be there. And maybe this is an example of that. The story of Misoininim should be one of the Yeridas, and it's not mentioned. Al-Kopanim like this, says the Medrash. So Hashem calls Moshe and calls Aaron and Miriam, and he says, "You know, come to the Oil Moed." Amar lo Yakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, I think it should say Amar lahem, Hashem said to them, He said lehem?
Yesh gerzin lehem.
Right, makes more sense. Hashem said to Aaron and Miriam, he said, Kol ha-malshin esre'eu ba-seser, ein la-refuah. Anyone who slanders his fellow, his friend, clandestinely, ein la-refuah. He doesn't have a chance of being healed. Or the other gear says, Kol ha-masaper lashon hara, ein la-refuah. Anyone who speaks lashon hara doesn't have a refuah. In the last parak we had the same thing. Kol ha-malshin adam b'seser, ein la-chelek olam haba. And the other gear was, Kol ha-masaper lashon hara, ein la-chelek olam haba. The same two gear stories of malshin or masaper lashon hara. So Hashem says to them, whoever speaks lashon hara doesn't have a refuah. There's no way to get them healed. If you speak lashon hara about your friend, al achiv ben aviv v'imoy al achas kama v'chama. But if you speak lashon hara about your brother, who's the son of your father and your mother, for sure, ein la refuah. There's no way to be healed. Such a person, if you speak lashon hara, the malady, the punishment that comes, there's no way to fix it. V'kos aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem got angry at Aaron and Miriam, and nistalek me'al ha'oil, and the Shechina left from upon the oil. Tichsiv v'yichar af Hashem bom v'yelach. Hashem got angry at them, and he went. Meaning Hashem, the Shechina left. Right? And as the Shechina left from the oil, after Hashem spoke to Aaron and Miriam, the Medrash says, Miad nitzara Miriam. Immediately, Miriam became a mitzayra.
Hello.
She got tzaras. Okay.
It's a bachutz. Okay, tada. It's a bachutz. So you gotta go down to get it. I'll get it.
Omar.
It's okay, it takes a moment.
Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Miriam automatically she got her tzaras. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, Im yeh gam Aaron mitzayra. If Aaron also will become a mitzayra. Ein kain gadol bal mum yochel lahakir v'gabim mitzbeach. A kain gadol who's a bal mum, he won't be able to bring korbanos on the mitzbeach because he's a bal mum. So Hashem made it that Aaron is not going to become a mitzvah. Ella, rather yirav achaysay v'itztayr. Rather, what should happen is that Aaron is going to see his sister, and he'll experience the pain just seeing his sister being a mitzvah. Or the other girsa is Yira Bachesai Viyisma. He should see his sister and he should wonder. Meaning he'll also feel pain and he'll and it'll be a punishment for Aaron as well. Shinamar Vayif and Aaron al Miriam. It says Aaron turned to Miriam. There's some interesting points over here. One point is the Marzum makes a very interesting point. You have to think about whether these two things that he's about to say are contradictory to each other. It says that when Hashem didn't give Aaron tzaras, rather he made it that Aaron will suffer through Miriam's tzaras. So Marzus says two things. One is that because he suffers through Miriam's tzaras, so Aaron gets his punishment because he's suffering on Isa. And then also he says that the fact that Aaron is sort of sympathizing with Miriam and feeling for her, and because he's suffering because she's suffering, so that's a kapara on the fact that I guess he didn't have a certain sensitivity when it came to his brother Maisha. So it's sort of like it's a punishment and it's also a kapara. I'm not sure if it's contradictory or not, because why is it a kapara for him? It's saying it's showing that he's fixing his avera, that he's fixing his avera by having sympathy for his sister, as opposed to by Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't have sympathy for Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So that means that we wouldn't have expected him to feel this suffering of Miriam having tzaras, right? And then the other nekuda that the Marzu says is that, and it's a punishment because he's getting tzar, or Lamaisa is getting tzar for his sister. But if we wouldn't expect him to get tzar for his sister having tzaras, so then why would that be a punishment? We didn't expect him to get tzar. So it seems to be like it's a little bit contradictory, but that's the point that he makes over here, the Marzu. The Radal brings from Avos Rebbe Nosson, that Hashem actually did give Aaron tzaras, but he took it away right away. But the Radal says, like, what's Aaron suffering? Why is Aaron suffering because of Miriam having tzaras? Like, what's the why is it a pain for Aaron that Miriam has Taras? So the Radal brings a Sifri. The Sifri says that calls man as long as Aaron was looking at her, every time Aaron looked at Miriam, the Taras was like growing and growing. So like Aaron saw it like it was like mamish in his face, like the Taras was just like growing, the nega kept just growing and growing as Aaron looked at her, and like that's why Aaron like felt bad for the, he felt the pain of the of that Taras that was growing. As Aaron kept looking, the nega just kept growing and growing. That's a interesting pshat that the Radal says. This is for Epstein. What did one Taras say to the other Taras? What's up, nega? that was in the spirit of last. That was in the spirit of last week's parak where we talked about Isha Kushis.
Nega. Nega's a tzaras.
Nega's a tzaras, right? What did one piece of tzaras say? The other piece of tzaras. What's up?
Tzaras.
Huh? Yeah.
I like the uncle's joke better.
So the Radal asks a question. It says that Hashem didn't want to make Aaron into a mitzvah because ain kohen gadol ba'mum yochal hakrev al gabei mizbeach. A kohen gadol ba'mum can't be makrev on the mizbeach. So Hashem didn't want to make Aaron into a mitzvah. It's like a little bit of an understatement. A mitzvah, the halacha is, has to be sent out of three camps. You're not allowed to go to Machne Yisrael, Machne Shechina, Machne Levi, Machne Yisrael. It's to be sent all the way out of the Mechutz Lachana. Right? A mitzvah who comes into the base of Mikdash is chayv karis. Right? So why are we saying, oh, Hashem didn't want Aaron to be a mitzvah because a Baal Mum is not allowed to be makriv? Right? If he comes into the base of Mikdash, he's chayv karis. It's not that stam, a Baal Mum is not allowed to be makriv. Baal Mum, right? A Baal Mum is like a kohen who's a lefty, right? Or a kohen who's missing an arm or something like that. Baal Mum, right? So if such a kohen does a void in the base of Mikdash, so he is transgressed a lav, he's chayv maybe misa bidei shemayim, but it's not an iser karis. Mitzvah is iser karis. So why did the Medrash switch and say, like, oh, Baal Mum ain't the Yachal HaHakrim? So the Allah says it's Lav Davka. It means the problem of Mitzvah. But the other Nakuda, the Radal says, it's an important idea, that the Halacha by Mitzvah is, it's not automatic. If a person has a piece of Tzaras on him, it doesn't automatically make him into a Mitzvah and now he's Tamei and everything. It's not automatic. You need a Kohen to come and declare that he's Tamei. Now, the Halacha is that Pashas, that a relative, a Kohen's relative, can't be the one to declare that he's Tamei. So if Aaron gets Tzaras, nobody's going to be there to declare that he became Tamei.
Not his
son? So, no, because his son is a relative.
Yeah.
Right? So no one could declare that Aaron is...
They're all relatives. They're all,
right, they're all relatives, right?
So what happens if a Kohen gets Tzaras?
No, if it's a second cousin, so a second cousin could say he's a Tamei. But in the time of Aaron, a Kohen, there weren't any Kohanim who were that distantly related. They were all direct relatives. So there was no one to say that he's Tamei. So what would really happen, if Lu Yitzur, that Hashem would have given Aaron a Kohen Tzaras, he would just have the physical mark of Tzaras, but he wouldn't have the Tumah of Tzaras. Right? So then he wouldn't have the Halachic Dinim of Tzaras. So then why can't he do anything in the Mizbeach? So the Medrash said, oh, because he's a Baal Mum. He's not Mamish a Mitzvah that's Chayiv Karis if he comes into the Beis Hamikdash, but he's at least a Baal Mum.
So if you don't go to Kohen, you get the symptoms of it. You wait a week before you go to Kohen. You don't have...
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. The Mishnah Negaim says that a Chassan... So we wait before we let him go. He just got married, so and he has tzaras. We don't send him to the kohen right away. We say, like, you know, wait till after Shavuot.
Keep the bottom away from him.
But in general, you're supposed to go to the kohen when you can. But you know, if technically if you don't, then Maisa, you're not going to become tummy. Okay, let's go. Yeah,
tzaras is a process too, right?
Yeah.
If it goes away after 7 days, you have to wait 7 yamim until then. You yeah. The kohen then he says. Yes, this is Tzaras.
But
I could go away in that time. Okay.
Says the Medrash. Halach Aaron el Moshe. Aaron Akain went to Moshe Beinu. Amar Loi. He said to him, Adoni Moshe, my master Moses, Eina Achem Misparshim el Mitech Mavis. Brothers are inseparable. Brothers can only be separated by death. Shinema Kihu Ben Achim Yafri. Because he between Hashem differentiates between brothers, separates between brothers. So the death separates between brothers, right? That death is the only thing that can separate between siblings. V'achisenu, but our sister, achihi b'chayim, nisparsha mimenu kamoves. Our sister, while she's still alive, she's been separated from us as if she was dead. Shinamar, it says the pasuk, al not tehi kames. Don't be like a dead person. V'loy oid, right? So basically, what Aaron is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is that we're in a bad circumstances over here, because usually siblings stick together, and here our sister is being ostracized from us because Mitzrayah has to be sent away. She can't. Badad Yeshev Michutz LaMachane Moshe Vay, right? So she's sent away. She's not with us. So it's like it's as if she's dead in a certain way, because usually what separates siblings is only death. And here she's separated from us. We say that Mitzrayah is like a dead person, and I think that's sort of what we're talking about over here. That Mitzrayah is like a dead person in this way, that they're far away. You can't communicate with them. You can't talk to them. You can't interact with them, and they're just, it's as if they're gone. So Aaron is complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, like, we got to do something about this. And not only that, Ela Ad Achshav Yismach Kol Yisrael V'yem Rachim Shal Moshe V'Aaron Mitzrayas Chai. Shame Rashel Chohu. And also, the Jews, it's going to look very bad. The other Jews are going to look very bad upon us. It says Yismach, but I think it's like a lashon of like they're going to be happy, like they're going to like sort of poke fun that the sister of Aaron and Moshe is a Mitzara. The Shame Rashel Chohu, it looks bad for you. It looks bad that Moshe Rabbeinu's sister is a Mitzara. It's like, that's one of the things they're going to talk about in the National Enquirer, right? They're gonna write, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu's sister, you know what she is, she's a mitzvah. It doesn't look good for you, Moshe Rabbeinu. V'nisratza Moshe b'dvarim, and Moshe was appeased by these words, and he realized that he has to do something about it. V'amad, and he got up, v'hispala l'aleha, and he prayed about Miriam. V'natolait, and Hashem listened to his prayers. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, v'yitzak Moshe l'Hashem lemar, Moshe cried to Hashem, saying, "Kel na refon Allah, kel Hashem na, please refon Allah, heal her now, right?" So, and Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem to heal her, and Hashem is gonna heal her. But the Radal makes an interesting deal. It says, "Kel na refon Allah, give her, heal her, la dafka, specifically her." Right? Why specifically her? Because we said earlier that a person who says lashon hara about their friend and calls kain about their sibling, ain't le refuah. There's no way to get healed. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, no, please heal her. Even though generally a person in such a circumstances is ain't le refuah, but here I'm moichel, it's as if she never did anything wrong. So please heal her.
Yeah, but people, lashon hara, you just say about somebody you don't like, not somebody you care about.
Right, so it's even worse if you say it about someone you care about.
I don't think she had any ill intention.
You don't think she had any ill intention, but it could be that lashon hara is a problem even if you don't have ill intention.
Sometimes you don't know you're saying it.
Yeah, you don't even realize. She's not trying to do something bad. The Medrash says that what was lashon hara? The Medrash says that when the 70 elders came about. Right, the story of the Mesoinanim, when they complained about this love, that's when they got 70 elders, right? So when they became, and they became quasi neviim, they became like prophets, right? So she just happened to Tzipora, Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, like happened to mention like, "I woe unto the wives of these quasi neviim, because from whenever Moshe Rabbeinu became a navi, he separated from me." Right, Tzipora said that to Miriam, girl talk. And then Miriam went and she told that to Aaron, that like Moshe was separated from his wife. Right? It's like it wasn't like she was trying to like do something bad. She's like, just that's the way they talk, you know. So even if you're not trying to say something bad, lashon hara is something you can damage somebody. It's like, I didn't mean to punch you in the face. I was just like going like this, and like you happened to walk by, and I just went you in the face, right? And you're still chayav to pay him. So it's the same thing. Lashon hara. You say something you didn't mean to hurt somebody, but if you end up hurting somebody, that's called lashon hara. I mean, in Islam in general, all things, when you talk about Bein Adam L'Chaver and Bein Adam L'Makom, so a big difference between Bein Adam L'Chaver and Bein Adam L'Makom is that by Bein Adam L'Makom, so it depends on what you're thinking. What are your thoughts when you do a certain action or a certain mitzvah or a certain avera? A lot of it has to do with what you're thinking. When you talk about Bein Adam L'Chavero, it doesn't really matter what you're thinking. It matters what did you actually do to your friend? What happened? Did you hurt your friend? Did you give him, right? If money falls out of your pocket and a poor man walks on the street and he finds the money and he takes it, right? You unwittingly actually did the mitzvah of tzedakah. Right? Because at the end of the day, somebody gained some sort of benefit from you. So you helped them out. Alright, says the Mishnah. So Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Hashem that you should heal Miriam. Rabbi Levitas ish Yavna Omer. Rabbi Levitas, man of Yavna, says, Im ein mitzeres mere kekes befanai eino misrape. This is such a weird line. You don't have this kirsa, I think, right?
No.
You don't have this. I don't even know what this means. So it says, if a mitzeras, a female mitzera, doesn't spit in front of me, he doesn't get healed. I'm not sure what that means. There's some sort of mistake over here. The next line is, apparently, Rabbi Leila Meizrich says this is some sort of schoolatic thing. The Radal wants to explain how it works. I'll peek Kabbalah. I don't understand what he means. But apparently there was a thing that if the father of a Mitzayra spits at the Mitzayra, so that's like an automatic way of healing a Mitzayra. Right? So basically like this. Im ein aviv shel Mitzayra reikik b'fon av ein misrape. If the father of a Mitzayra doesn't spit in front of him, he's not going to automatically get healed. Hashem said back to Moshe when Moshe davened that Hashem should heal Miriam, if her father would have spit in front of her, which the Medrash is saying is an automatic way of healing tzaras, still she would be embarrassed for 7 days. She would have to be she would still be a mitzvah for 7 days, and then when her she would be locked up, that the kohen has to see, is it going to grow, is it going to get two hairs or whatever, right? Even if it disappears, right, and her father spits on it right away, she's still going to be embarrassed for 7 days, right? So Hashem is saying, the way Radal explains, Hashem is saying back to Moshe Rabbeinu, so to you, Miriam, even if I'm going to give you an automatic healing, but still, you know, at least 7 days you should be secluded, and then we'll work on it.
And her father wasn't around.
What? Or her father probably, Pashas was dead. You can make a cheshbon.
Levi was the last to die, right?
Levi, yeah, but her father, Miriam's father was Amram.
No.
And he lived 136 years, I think. You can make a cheshbon of exactly. You could try to make a cheshbon of when Amram died. There is a Medrash that says that Amram actually saw Pinchas. You have to know, or saw Pinchas' sons. I don't know, it's all, you can try to, there's a whole discussion about when exactly Amram died. But Pashas, by this point, he was already dead. Okay, now the Medrash is going to go off on a shtickle tangent. Mikan Amro, from here we say, and the Marzu points out that he said way back in the beginning of Perek Aleph, that when we say Mikan Amro, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is the source. Rather, it means that this is something similar to what we're about to tell. What we're about to say. We just mentioned the idea of tzaras, that a person has to be secluded for 7 days. So mikan amru, there's other cases where a person has a certain type of tumah that lasts for 7 days. Zav shiva, zava shiva, avel shiva, mitzara shiva. A zav is tamei for 7 days. A zava is tamei for 7 days. And avel is in mourning for 7 days, and a mitzera is tamei for 7 days, right? Mitzera we just mentioned, right? It's explicit psukim. Zav shiva minayin, a zav is tamei for 7 days. How do we know that, right? What's a zav? A zav is a person who has some sort of gonorrheal secretion for 3 days in a row. So if he has it for 3 days in a row, the Torah says he becomes tamei for seven. He becomes tamei until it stops. When the zav becomes cleansed from his flow, he counts 7 days of tyra, and then he becomes completely clean, and then he could go to the mikvah and then bring korbanos, and he's good. Right? So a zav has to count seven clean days. Zava Shiva. Zava also has 7 days. Minayin, where do we know that from? Shinamar, it says in the Pasuk. Vimtara Mizaiva. Vesuffer La Shiva Samim Vachar Titar. If she becomes clean from her flow, so she counts 7 days, and then she becomes tar. Now, what's a zava? So a zava is a woman who sees blood not during her normal period. Right? The halacha is, it's a machlek, it's the Rambam and other Rishonim, exactly how this works. But the halacha is that if a woman sees dam nida, halacha midaraisa, right? We're talking about halacha daraisa. A woman sees dam nida, so she becomes tmeya for 7 days. And if at the end of 7 days she's no longer bleeding, she can go to the mikvah, vizel. And she's tahara. Now, if not during those 7 days she sees blood, right? Meaning, midaraisa, no matter how long she's bleeding, right? Bleed, first started bleeding 7 days, she could be bleeding the entire time, but if at the end of 7 days she stopped bleeding, she'd go to the mikvah right away and she's tahara. The din of zava is that if she sees blood not during the 7 days of nida, right, then she's called a zava, and a zava is tmeya, and in order to become tahara from being a zava, you need 7 clean days where she's not seeing blood b'chlam. Right? Now the din of the way it works is how you calculate the 7 days. Chazal tell us that like this. There's halacha l'maaseh b'sinah that there's 7 days and then there's 11 days. So the way most Rishonim understand it, it's that you count from when she first becomes a nida until for the next 7 days. So those are called the yemei nida, and whatever blood she sees doesn't matter. At the end of those 7 days, she can go to the mikvah and she's tahara. Right? And then immediately after those 7 days are 11 days. And if she sees blood during those 11 days, then she could become a zava. That's what most Rishonim say. The Rambam understands that no, for her entire life, from the first time she ever started seeing blood from her for the rest of her life, basically, there's 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. It keeps switching off. But we're saying, no, the 11 is dafka right after the 7. That's Machlokes Rambam and other Rishonim, but it's not really Negei Halacha L'maaseh, because we'll speak in a moment exactly what the Halacha L'maaseh is. Now that's the din of Zava. So Zava, if she becomes Tmeya Zava, then she needs 7 clean days in order to become Tahira. Right? Now, it seems like the Medrash ends right here. Right? V'safra la shiva siyamim v'achar titar. And then she becomes Tahar. Right? It ends off with the word v'achar titar. Now the truth is that there are manuscripts of the Medrash which end off right over here. And the Radal says that there's obviously something missing. The Radal didn't have those manuscripts, and he doesn't have the rest of the parak. So the Radal says that for some reason they decided, or not for some reason, but they decided to end the sefer right here at the word v'achar titar, because there's an idea, there's an inyan to end off something with tahar. And it brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Taf Samech Chesam Ralf. The Gemara says, on Samech Chesam Ralf of Sanhedrin, Rabbi Eliezer, at the end of his life, was very sick. And the Rabbanim came, the Tanoim came, Rabbi Kiva, other Tanoim, they came and they were discussing different things and learning with them, halachas. And the last thing was a question that they asked him in Hilchos Tumah V'Taira, and Rabbi Eliezer said, Tahar, that case is Tahar, and the Gemara said, and then he died. Tahar was Rabbi Eliezer's last words. He said, Tahar. The Radal doesn't bring this, but there's another Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Peivav Meral. The Gemara says, by Rabba Bar Nachmani, Rabbi Bar Nachmani had as he was on his deathbed and he was about to die, so they asked him a shaila about a mitzvah, that the hairs came before the actual nega came, right? So is it tamei or tahor, whatever, and he said tahor, and then he died. The same thing, he said tahor, and then he died. And the Gemara says, and the Baskol came out, and it says, Ashrecha Rabbi Bar Nachmani sheguvcha tahor v'yatzuzan nishmosa b'tahor. Praiseworthy is Rabbi Bar Nachmani, that his body was tahor, it was pure, and his neshama left him with the words pure on his mouth. Those are the last words he said before he died. Rabbi Bar Nachmani. And then the Gemara says that it was really a machlekes between the Hashem and the Mesifta and the Yeshiva in Shemayim, whether that case is Tamei or Tahar. And Rabbi Bar Nachmani was saying like I think the Mesifta Durakia, not like Hashem. There's a whole discussion over there in the Gemara and Daf Pevavim and Aleph. So that's the idea of ending off the Sefer with the word Tahar. But as I mentioned, we have a continuation of the Medrash over here. So that's the Medrash. Nida Shiva Minayin. How do you know that Nida is Tame for 7 days? Shnemar says in the Pasuk, Shiva Yamim Tia Benidasa. She should be in her Nidas for 7 days. Kin Nidasa Ein Ksiv. It doesn't say she should be like a Nida for 7 days. Vena Takari Ela Bin Nidasa. She should be seven in her state of Nidus for 7 days. Dover Acher, says the Medrash. What do we mean? Another explanation. We said Nida is 7 days. So Pashas, that means that a woman is Tamei Nida for 7 days, like the Din D'Oraisa. But the Medrash says, we can also understand it in a different way, and this is more Halacha L'Maisa of what we do. Rabbi Zeira Oimer, Rabbi Zeira says, B'nei Yisrael Hechmir Al Atzman, the daughters of Israel accepted astringency upon themselves. Shafil Roya is Tipas Dam Kachardo, Yeshevis Alav Shiva Nikim. Even if they see a drop of blood, like a little mustard seed, they will sit on it 7 clean days. Right? Chazal basically say that because you can be confused between Zava and Nida, it's a little bit more complicated than this, but this is more or less the idea. Because a person could be confused between Zava and Nida, because Zava needs 7 clean days, and Nida just needs 7 days from whenever she started till she could become Tar, Midareisa. So Chazal says that we don't want to make people confused. So what we do is, every woman who's a Nida, we say that it's as if she's a Zava and she needs 7 clean days to become Tahira. That's this din of Rabbi Zeira, that B'nai Yisrael Hichmiru Al Atzman, that even a little bit of dam, you need 7 clean days. So when the Medrash said that Nida is 7 days, it doesn't mean the 7 days of the Torah, that it's 7 days until she becomes Tahar, but rather it means the 7 clean days that Chazal said that she's like a Zava. It's Rabbi Zeira over here. The Gemara in Brachas, very interesting. The Gemara in Brachas says in Perek Ein Oimdin, the fifth Perek, you probably know this, right? The Gemara says that you're not supposed to start davening after having an intense halachic debate. Right? You can only start davening right out, because then you're too much involved in thinking about the halacha or whatever. You won't be able to concentrate in the davening. But you could start davening right after having a halacha psuka. Right? If someone says the bottom line halachas, right? So then you're allowed to daven, because it's the final word. It's not a whole discussion. So Gemara says, what's an example of halacha psuka? So Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira Aymer, B'nai Yisrael Chmir Al Asman. This halacha that women count 7 clean days of nida, right? That's the halacha lamaisa that we hold of nowadays. That's interesting. The Gemara over there says Rabbi Zeira, and over here in Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer it's Rabbi Zeira. So the Seder Deris says that Rabbi Zeira, who's mentioned in the Gemara Yerushalmi, is the same person as Rabbi Zeira in the Gemara Bavli. So we've mentioned before in Perek Tazayin, we spoke about this a little bit more by Richus, that Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is a Medrash that comes from Eretz Yisrael. So it's coming from the same place as the Gemara Yerushalmi. So just like the Yerushalmi calls him Zeira as opposed to Zeira, so here too Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer calls him Rabbi Zeira, not Rabbi Zeira.
Yeah, sometimes the Yerushalmi refers to Rabbi
Yehuda. Yehuda, yeah. Like a Chassid, Yehuda. Yehuda.
First time I thought it.
And also the Yerushalmi calls Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazer.
Lazer.
Yeah. Tamei Meis Shiva Minayin. How do we know that a person who's Tamei Meis is Tamei for 7 days? Even though that wasn't one of the things that we mentioned in the list earlier, but the Medrash speaks it out. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, B'chol Shiyaga Apanaz Pnei Asoda, anyone who touches Apanaz Asoda, B'chol Acherev of a Meis, the corpse of a dead body or a dead body. Or the bone of a man or a grave, he becomes tamei for 7 days. Avel, a person who's in avelus, a mourner, shiva minayin. How do we know that it's 7 days? Shiva. How do we know that shiva is 7 days? Shneamar says the pasuk vayas la'aviv avel shiva yamim. They made for his father when Yaakov Avinu died, so they made for him avel, a mourning of 7 days. And we actually had this drush in Perek Yud Zayin. We brought this also over there as the source for avoiding 7 days.
Why is the source Yaakov and not Moshe? Moshe was Shloshim Yom. Somebody else was also Shloshim Yom.
Aaron.
Remember?
Aaron was
sourcing.
Yeah.
Why is this source and not the other source?
Because over there it says they cried. It doesn't say they made Avil. Pashtus. So, and also over here it's talking about their son, his sons. Over there it's talking about all of Klal Yisrael. But it is, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Rif doesn't like this as the source for Avelis being 7 days because you can't learn from before Matan Torah. So it's not a halacha de Raisa. Avelis, the 7 days of Avelis could be only halacha de Rabbanan. Only Oinin is de Raisa, but Avelis, that's almond milk. Yeah. I was looking at your reaction. Okay, right there in the Medrash. Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Oid Hilshinu al Kadosh Baruch Hu. Another story where Klal Yisrael said Lashon Hara about Hashem. Oid Hilshinu al Kadosh Baruch Hu. They again slandered against Hashem, but Omer, they said, Hayinu Yoishim Be'eretz Mitzrayim Sha'anan V'Shalev. We were sitting in the land of Egypt, quiet and peacefully. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu U'Maisha Hayitzinu Mitzrayim Lamos B'Midbar. This is called historical revisionism, right? And Hashem and Moses, they took us out of Mitzrayim so that we could die in the desert. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk. Right, this is in Parshas Chukas. Vayidaber ha'om be'elikim uve'Moshe. The nation spoke about Hashem and about Moshe. Me'asa lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Hashem do? Shalach lehem hanechoshim. Hashem sent upon them the serpents, the snakes. Vayineishchim u'mimisim. And the snakes would bite them and kill them. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk. Vayishalach Hashem ba'om es hanechoshim. Hasraf. Es hanechoshim.
I'll go get it.
Hashem sent to them the snakes, and the snakes were biting them and killing people. Moshe b'tzaratim shel Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the distress of Klal Yisrael, v'amad v'yispalel aleihem, and he got up and he prayed for Bnei Yisrael. Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, How are you gonna heal them? Moshe, aseh lecha sarf nachash nechashis. Make for yourself a snake out of copper. Just like that snake, that original snake that we spoke about in the last parak that said Lashon Hara about Hashem to Adam and Chava, so make a snake in that form, because that snake, I guess, represents the idea of Lashon Hara. And put it in a high place. And anyone who's been bitten by the snake, and he has intent in his heart to his father Shabashamayim, to his father in heavens, and he looks at that snake, miyad misrapa, he'll be immediately healed. Shneimar pasuk says, vayim nashu chanochash v'chinu oimer imisha chanochash b'lei lochash. That's the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says, does the snake, what?
Look at the pistachio.
Is there a worm in there? The what's it called? The Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says, does the Nachash heal people? No, the Nachash doesn't heal people. It's the fact that the Nachash is in a high place, and when you look up to the Nachash, it reminds you of Hashem. That's what healed the people. And Mishnah also says over there that by the war of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they were fighting Amalek, so Moshe Rabbeinu had his hands up, and it says when his hands were up, they were winning, and his hands were down, they were losing. So the Mishnah says, well, Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, that's what makes the Muhammad. No! Rather, when his hands were up, people were reminded of Hashem, and they were Matzlech in the war. And when his hands were coming down, they weren't so strong in their conviction, and then they were losing the war.
I was finding it very interesting that they put rocks under his hands
afterwards. Just to keep them up. Yeah.
It wasn't the willpower to win and to be close to Hashem. It was like, what? Why? Rocks. Interesting story.
Smedrish says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Im yukones harayfe etzel misha noshchei v'rapehu vade lezeh machzikin teva. If a doctor comes in to the person who was bit by a snake or was bit by an animal or something, and he heals them, vade lezeh machzikin teva. We appreciate what the doctor did, and machzikin lo teva, you know, we appreciate it, and it's something praiseworthy about the doctor that he came to help heal this guy. Rabbi Yossi says, im yizkar adam poyel zoriz. If a person hires a poyel, a worker who's zoriz, he's zealous, he's quick, he's diligent, right? V'yikfeu v'yitan leischara mishalom. You hire a guy, he's a good worker, He's a Zaris, he's a good worker. And you give him the money up front. Right? And you give him you give him from your money up front because he's a good worker. So ma toiva machzikin lazeb. You didn't do such a major thing, you know. He's a good worker, so you expect he's gonna do a good job. So you gave him money up front because you know that you could rely on him and you're not doing anything extra special that we should be especially appreciative that you gave him the money up front. Aval, however, if Yisker Adam Poel Otzel, if a man hires a lazy worker, a guy who's known as a lazy worker, Vidik Fail, and you give him on credit, and you give him his wages up front before he does the work, to such a guy who hired a lazy worker and he paid him up front, even though he knows you're a lazy worker, so that you should be especially appreciative that he paid you up front, because there, you know, he's taking a risk or whatever, you wouldn't expect him to do such a thing. Medrash says, "Kach Amar Shlomo." I don't know what this means, but this is what the Medrash says. "Kach Amar Shlomo v'nei Kadosh Baruch Hu." So too, King Solomon said in front of Hashem, "Poilim Atzelim Onu." We are lazy workers. The other gear says, "Poilim Atzelim Avram Yitzchak Yaakov." Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov are lazy workers. "Kishititin Lanu Scharenu." When you give us our reward, Mishalem. When you pay us our reward, "V'Poenu," and you heal us. For sure, everyone is going to praise you and bless you, Hashem. I'm not sure exactly what the point is, but I think the idea is sort of that, especially if you go with the gist of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, right? People in their teva are sort of somewhat lazy. You can't expect them to do the right thing. If they do the right thing, they do the right thing. But it's not necessarily something that your mom should expect, that it's an automatic thing. Right? So when Hashem promised Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov that he's going to give to Bnei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, he was sort of taking a risk. He said, I'm going to give you something, I'm going to pay you up front with the expectation that you'll keep to the Torah. Right? So we're saying, we should be especially appreciative of the fact that Hashem is giving us up front. He's paying us up front, even though he knows that we're lazy. He's paying us up front the schar, even though we didn't do the good things yet. He's going to expect it to us later on. Now, Rabbi Pomerantz has in the back of his Pirkei d'Eliezer, he has an index, the index of Pirkei d'Eliezer. Now, the index of Pirkei d'Eliezer that you have is not necessarily congruent with what we have in our Pirkei d'Eliezer, because in Perek Nun Dalet, which you have over there, it says, you do. I just looked at it. Okay, the last one, the last Perek that you have over there. Yeah, it's true. Actually, I didn't mention this in the beginning, but some manuscripts of the Medrash have this Perek as part of the last Perek. But over there it says, Baruch Ata Hashem. What does it say? It says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Reifei Chayle Amma Yisrael. Right? That's a bracha in Shemana Esrei, Reifei Chayle Amma Yisrael. Now, we don't have that in this parak that we just discussed. Right? So the Radal again wants to say that...
So this wasn't done by the current
right, publisher. No, that index, the index that you have over there of Pirkei d'Eliezer was not done as an actual index of the Sefer. The index was compiled a long, long time ago, and was appended to the Sefer. Now, the index doesn't necessarily reflect what's in the actual Sefer, because it says something about Refei Chalei Amma Yisrael, and we don't talk about Refei Chalei Amma Yisrael. So Radal says that that index was compiled from a fuller version of Pirkei d'Eliezer. Right? There's certain things that are missing from the Medrash. Like we said,
that we have, you've been reading the quote-unquote
fuller versions, but there's even more fuller versions. Right? And we've been speaking about for the last few weeks, the last few prakim, different things that have to do with being healed. In Perek Nun Aleph, in the end, we spoke about what's going to be in the time of Mashiach, that there's going to be a river coming out of Yerushalayim, and there's different fruits that are going to grow from the trees on that river, and if you eat those fruits, it'll heal you. Right? So there's Perek Nun Aleph, we talked about healing. In Perek Nun Beis, we spoke about Chizkiyahu. One of the things we spoke about is Chizkiyahu got sick, and he was going to die, and Hashem healed him. Right? And Perek Nun Gimel was about Lashon Hara, and this is an extension of Perek Nun Gimel. We speak about Miriam getting sick and then getting healed. We spoke about Klal Yisrael getting bitten by these snakes and then getting healed. Right, all these different things. So he understands that the Medrash is also going to say, in the part that's missing, that this is an allusion to the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Refei Cholei Am Yisrael. We've spoken about before different brachas. Another one of the recurring themes in Pirkei Deb Eliezer are the different brachas in Shemoneh Esrei and what they correspond to. Right? In Perek Chav Zayin, we said that Mogen Avram refers to Hashem telling Avram Avinu, "Don't worry, I'm going to protect you." And Perek Lamed Aleph, we said that Mechaye Mesim refers to Hashem resurrecting Yitzchak Avinu after he was killed by the Akedah and coming back to life. In Perek Lamed Hey, we said that Hakel HaKodesh is referring to Hashem protecting Yaakov Avinu. In Perek Mem, we said that Chayne Nadas is referring to Hashem giving Moshe Rabbeinu the knowledge of his name. In Perek Mem Gimel, we said that Haretzah B'Shuvah, the next bracha, is a reference to the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi in the future is going to get Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. Right? And then he says that the next bracha, Chanu Namai B'Lislayach, we don't find it explicitly in Pirkei Deb Eliezer, but he wants to say that it's alluded to in Perek Mem Vav, which talks about Hashem being Moichel B'nei Yisrael for the chet of the eagle. And then he says that Goyel Yisrael, which is the bracha after that, is alluded to in Perek Mem Ches, which talks about Yitzis Ritzayim, Mem Tessa Nun, which speaks about the story of Purim, says Goyel Yisrael. And then the next bracha is Roi Fei Cholim, right? Which he says that should really be the end of our parak. Nun Dalet of Nun Gimel Nun Dalet is the idea of Roi Fei Cholim, and just that, you know, unfortunately, there's parts of Pirkei Deb Eliezer that are missing, and we don't have everything that's there. That's what the Radal writes in the end of the Sefer, and also in his introduction, he also speaks about this. I was just reading right now from the introduction. Another point that the Radal makes in the introduction, and I think we'll do this a little bit faster, is that we find in Rishonim they bring different things in the name of Pirkei Deb Eliezer that we don't actually find in the Sefer itself, which would point to the idea that the Pirkei Deb Eliezer that we've been learning is not the full Sefer. There's things that are missing, or there's other traditions, or there's other either lines that are missing, or prakim that are missing, and we didn't get mamish exact full picture. We only have as much as we can. So he brings down a few of these sources. One is a Rashi, which Rashi on Bereishis Rabbah Parsha Nun Beis, which it's not clear if that Pirush that they call Pirush Rashi on Bereishis Rabbah is really from Rashi, but it's from a Rishon, where it says over there that when Avraham Avinu was trying to teach everyone about monotheism, so the Goyim would have beaten him up if it wasn't for the fact that Shem and Aver had previously warned them that they shouldn't do such a thing. So we don't have that in Pirkei Deb Eliezer, and Rashi over there brings that in the name of Pirkei Deb Eliezer. Another thing is, Tosfos in Chagiga Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says that the Atlantic Ocean, all the oceans are measurable, but the Atlantic Ocean is something that we can't measure. And he brings that in the name of Pirkei Deb Eliezer. So we never came across such a thing in Pirkei Deb Eliezer. We did come across is, in the beginning of Perek Vav, I mentioned that the Kuzri says that Pirkei Deb Eliezer talks about the measurements of the earth and other different things about geography or whatever, and just we don't have that in our Pirkei Deb Eliezer. So we already mentioned it then in Perek Vav. Another thing the Radal brings is the Smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, in his introduction. He brings in the name of Pirkei Deb Eliezer that the reason why Hashem didn't want us to write Torah Shebaal Peh is because Hashem knew that whatever is going to be written is going to be translated into other languages, and Hashem didn't want them to be translated. Again, we don't have it in our Pirkei Deb Eliezer. The Mordechai in Hilchos Tefillin brings down an interesting story in the name of Pirkei Deb Eliezer. Mordechai in Hilchos Tefillin brings a story, and this story is actually brought in other sources, it's just not brought in Pirkei Deb Eliezer. That there was once a guy who had two heads, and this guy who had two heads went to Shlomo Melech, and he said that when his father dies, he should get double inheritance because he's like two people. He has two heads. And so the Medrash says that what did Shlomo Melech do? He covered one head. No, Shlomo Melech, that doesn't always work. What Shlomo Melech did is he covered one head with a bag or something, yeah, and he poured boiling hot water on top of the other head. And what did he hear? Shrieks and screams coming from both heads. Right? So Shlomo HaMelech said, ah, you're really one person. Because if you were two people, then you wouldn't feel what I did to the other head. So if so, you're really one person and you only get one portion of the Yerusha. Al-Kopanim, so the Mordechai brings us the name of Pirkei Eliezer, but we don't have this story in our Pirkei Eliezer. He brings a few things from Rabbeinu Bachaye. One, Rabbeinu Bachaye in Parshas Bishalach writes that Hashem made a stipulation with the creation of the world that it's going to split, the sea is going to split when Klal Yisrael needs it. He brings that in the name of Pirkei Eliezer. We don't have that in Pirkei Eliezer, even though we've spoken about that idea, but it wasn't explicit in the Medrash. In Parshas Truma, Rabbeinu Bachaye writes that the just like by the Arun, the Ark of the Covenant, so the Medrash says that even though it looked like people were carrying the Ark, but the reality was that the Ark was actually carrying the people. So he brings them in the name of Pirkei Eliezer that the Chayais are a type of angels that carry the Kisei HaKavod of Hashem. It looks like the Chayis are carrying the Kisei HaKavod, but really the Kisei HaKavod is carrying the Chayis. And when Perek Dalet, was it? That we spoke about the angels and stuff? Mm-hmm. Right, that was Perek Dalet. So we spoke about the Chayis and the Eifanim and whatever, and we didn't say this idea, so it's not in Perek Eliezer. In Karakemach, which is one of Rabbeinu Bachaye's, like it's an encyclopedia that Rabbeinu Bachaye wrote. So, and by the word lulav, Rabbeinu Bachaye writes in the name of Pirkei Eliezer that just like the sun is in the middle of the sky, so too the Eitz Chaim is in the middle of Gan Eden. He writes in the name of Pirkei Eliezer, but we don't have it in our Pirkei Eliezer. And the Rashbatz writes in the name of Pirkei Eliezer that Michoel is the Sar Shel Olam, is the minister of the world. Which Tesis in Yevamos Daf Tazayin Mibayis says that the Malach Matat is the Sar Shel Olam, and there are midrashic sources that say that Michoel is the same person as Matat, is the same angel as Matat. But the point is that the Rashbatz raises in the name of Pirkei Eliezer, and we don't have it in Pirkei Eliezer that it says that Michoel is the Sar Shel Olam. And the last one, last but not least, is the Rishonim, the Baal Tesis, Paneach Raza, and other Rishonim bring down that. There's a skula that if you eat, I want to speak about this a little bit by Richos, but because it's an interesting thing. If you eat the stomach of a rabbit, then it's good for it's a skula for pregnancy. Yeah, if you're trying to become pregnant or whatever, and it's not working, so if you eat the stomach of an arneves, a keva of an arneves, the stomach of a rabbit, it's a skula to become pregnant. Obviously, the mefarshim that bring this down, they say that it doesn't mean you eat it straight because arnevet is not a kosher animal, rabbit's not kosher, but if you burn it in a fire and like you eat like the ashes or whatever is left over, that's not included in the iser because it's not really meat anymore. And he says like that, it's a skula for herayon. This is brought down. He the Radal brings it from the Paneach Raza in Parshas Tazria. I also wrote it down. The Moshe of Zakenim in Parshas Shmini talks about it. Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel in Parshas Re'eh. And the Pirsh Rekech in Parshas Tazria. And also the Pirsh Rekech on the Haftar of Parshas Nasai. They all mention this idea. Right? Shmini is when it talks about kosher and non-kosher animals. Re'eh is also talking about kosher and non-kosher animals. Tazria talks about giving birth. The Haftar of Parshas Nasai, when the Malach tells the wife of Manoach, who's going to be the mother of Shimshon, he tells her, don't eat something that's Tameh. So the Rekech says it's an allusion to this Medrash, which we'll see in a moment exactly what. Yeah. So there's such a Maseris that there's a skula to eat the stomach of a rabbit as a skula for becoming pregnant. That's what it seems to be. Now, they bring all these sources that I just said, they all bring this in the name of Pirkei Eliezer. Pashtus. Yeah? The Radal in his introduction wants to say that no, it's not, it's a mistake. It's not supposed to say Pirkei Eliezer. Pirkei Eliezer would be the way you would write it is Pei Reish Aleph. Pirkei Eliezer. That's Reish Tevis. Pei Reish Aleph. So the Radal says no, it's a mistake. It's supposed to really say Reish Pei Aleph with a line. And Rafa, Refuah, it's referring to Sifrei Refuah, medical books. That's what the Radas is. It's not really talking about Pirkei Levi because we don't have it in our Medrash. It says that it's really referring to other Sfarim, Sifrei Refua. I found that Rabbi Langa, who was the editor of Pirush Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel, he has a different suggestion. He says, Pei Reish Aleph doesn't stand for Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, but stands for Pirush Rabbeinu Elazar, the commentary of Rabbeinu Elazar, which is the commentary of the Rekach. And I mentioned that the Rekach is one of the people that brings this down, that it might be the earliest, it's the earliest source amongst the Ashkenazim that bring down this source of eating the stomach of a rabbit. So he says that maybe that's what it means, Pirush Rabbeinu Elazar. I did a little bit more research, and I found the earliest source that brings this is an Arabic philosopher named Ibn Sina, of Avicenna, or Ibn Sina, and he has a book called the Canon, which is a medical, a book about medicine, and he writes over there that there's a skula for a woman who's pregnant to eat the stomach of a rabbit in order to not have a miscarriage, chas v'shalom. So that's how he brings it down.
When did he live?
In the 900s.
So he was a Gaon.
No, he's not Jewish. He's not Jewish. Yeah, okay. The time of the Gaon. Yeah, he was the Rambam. In the Rambam, in his medical writings, brings things from Ibn Sina, that he was like a known doctor. So like maybe these Rishonim are coming from that. I don't know.
Yeah, where was he from, Ibn Sina?
Ibn Sina, I believe he was in Persia, in Iran, something like that. The Sifrei Kabbalah, there's a sefer called Sefer Zechira, a sefer called Shem Tov Katan, different Kabbalah Sfarim. Shem Tov Katan is actually the source for we say LeDavid Hashem Ayiv Yish during Elul. That's the source for that minug. I'm saying so. Those Sfarim, when they bring this, they bring it as if a woman gave birth once and then she was never able to become pregnant again, so she should eat the stomach of a rabbit and then she'll be able to have pregnancy. It's like stomach interesting. Interesting thing. So even though it seems like those Rishonim quoted it in the name of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it seems like it's not really necessarily from Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe it's coming from the Rekach, maybe it's coming from other medical works. Just before we end, I have 3 points that I want to finish off with. One point is like this. I mentioned my friend Chaim Tzvi Lehrfeld, who has maintains a correspondence with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he has a Sefer Derech Torah where he prints a lot of the letters that he got from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. One of the letters, he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, if you make a siyum on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, is it a sudas mitzvah? And Rav Chaim Kanievsky answered back one word, loy. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said it's not a sudas mitzvah. Now my friend, he wrote his comments on it, and he brings down that there's a machlekes amongst the poskim, if a person makes a siyum on what's called the small mesachtas, at the back of mesachtas of Avodah Zarah, there's like sort of small mesachtas, smachas, mesachtas seifrim, mesachtas sefer Torah, mesachtas gerim, whatever different things. Most of them were compiled in time of the Gaonim, right? So it's machlekes amongst the poskim. If you make a siyum on those small mesachtas, is that considered a sudas mitzvah or not? So he wanted to say that when Chaim Kanievsky said no, it's because he holds that it's not. But if you hold like the pesukim that a small mesachta is a siyum, so maybe Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is also a siyum. But I was thinking that I don't think that Rav Chaim Kanievsky thought that the question was somebody who learns Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer the way we learned it. We mamish went through every single line in the sefer as far as we have, and the different gerstoyes, and what the mefarshim saying. We tried to do a real good havana. We mamish learned the sefer biyun. I think that even if Chaim Kanievsky knew what we were doing over here, he would probably say that if we make a siyum, that is considered a sudas mitzvah. So I think we're still safe. And anyways, it's Mr. Shabbos, and Malav Malka is anyways a sudas mitzvah. So if you have a kapala only to eat at a sudas mitzvah, it's considered a sudas mitzvah. L'chayr. Lani Estaiti. I'm arguing on Chaim Kanievsky, I know that. But Lani Estaiti, I think that this would be considered a sudas mitzvah.
That's, you have different posting on your side.
Yeah. That's one point. The second point is like this. I think it's very important that we have to be makir tov to all the people that helped make this shir possible. And one of the people that that at least I tend to overlook is my own wife. Lets me come out of that. For me, it's even more than everyone else. Because you come, and your wife lets you out of the house for the shir. Right? But for me, my wife lets me out of the house even, you know, a half hour, an hour, or whatever before the shir to prepare for the shir. But it's a Shabbos. So I think it's kedai that when you go home, in my name, in your name, whatever, to thank your wives for letting you come to this year and participate and everything like that. That's the second point. The third point is I want to thank you guys for coming, and I've enjoyed it. It's mamish been over 2 years, and I think we've done a lot of interesting things, a lot of good questions, a lot of good answers, a lot of, you know, a lot of, we had a lot of fun, we did a lot of good learning, and I'm honored to be taking part in this whole thing with you guys, and I hope we'll continue with Bezer Shem some point.
Thank you for all the hard work you put in, all the learning. And
I think we have this 4 point, you know, of thanking you for, you know, being so kind to prepare and to give us your don't give up.
When was the Purim thing? I missed it.
It was in the first year.
Oh.
Avinu Avarachamon Amrachem Rachem Aleinu Lesen Belibeinu Vino Lavinu Leaskil Mishvaya Lemaido Lelamed Leishmaik Velasois Eskodevu Eldevu Salmo Toyosecho Biahavu. Okay. I guess we call it 8 or something.